People come up with all kinds of reasons not to budget, but none of them are very good. Hi, I'm Rob West. Today we'll go over some of the many reasons folks come up with to live without a spending plan. It's sort of like walking a tightrope. And I'll have some very good reasons why everyone should budget. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Okay, let's start with the biggest reason why you should budget, and that's because it's a biblical principle. Now, you won't find the word budget in the Bible, but it does say a lot about stewardship, and budgeting is stewardship. Having a spending plan and sticking to it is the only way to control your money, stay out of debt, and gain peace of mind about your finances. When you practice faithful stewardship, you no longer have to worry about your money because you've accepted that it's God's money. He owns everything. So budgeting is a key part of stewardship. When you live on a budget, you know where your money is going because you've planned it ahead of time. Proverbs 27:23 puts it like this: "Know well the condition of your flocks and give attention to your herds." Of course, back when that was written, flocks and herds were money. And perhaps the verse most associated with budgeting is Proverbs 21:20, "Precious treasure and oil are in a wise man's dwelling, but a foolish man devours it." People without a budget often end up living paycheck to paycheck. So those are just a few of the many reasons why everyone should budget. Now, let's look at some of the reasons why folks say they don't. One that you'll hear a lot is, "I'm terrible at math, so I can't budget." Well, good news. The FaithFi app will do all the math for you. You can download it at faithfi.com or anywhere you get your apps. Just look for FaithFi, Faith and Finance. By using the app, you can set up a budget in no time. Another top excuse is, "I make plenty of money, so I don't need to budget." Well, what if you suddenly stopped making plenty of money because you've lost your job? People are surprised by layoffs every day, especially today with predictions of a looming recession. That's why everyone needs 3 to 6 months' living expenses in their emergency fund. Try saving that up without a budget. Here's another one. "I'll always have unemployment benefits if I lose my job." You would only think that's a good plan if you've never relied on unemployment benefits before. Odds are they won't come close to what you were making. So again, get on a budget and save up an emergency fund. Now, this next one is probably true for a lot of folks. It's, "I'm afraid to set up a budget." They don't want to know how much they've been spending on things they may not really need. It's always a shock to discover how much you're overspending on things like groceries and eating out. But it's necessary because it gives you a starting point. By planning meals more carefully, you can trim your spending. That will free up discretionary income that you can put to better use somewhere else, like your emergency fund. Here's another. Some folks say they've tried to budget, but it didn't work. That dog won't hunt either. Almost everyone living successfully on a budget will tell you it didn't work at first. Your spending plan will always need to be adjusted at first. Just keep trying. Learning to live on a budget is a life-changing experience. It's worth the effort. Okay, last one. "I don't need to budget because I've always got money left over each month." Well, with the inflation we're seeing now, you've probably noticed you have less and less left over at the end of the month. There's also something called lifestyle creep. It means the more money you have available, the more you tend to spend. Raises and tax refunds get gobbled up quickly. Then, if you suffer a loss of income, you'll wish you'd saved that money. If God has blessed you with more than you need right now, that's even more reason to use it wisely. A spending plan will also help you to be more intentional with your giving. It's all God's money anyway, and we should use it to give glory to Him. What a lot of non-budgeters don't realize is that most people eventually do learn to live on a budget. If they don't do it voluntarily, they'll eventually be forced to by debt. The trick is to set up a plan for spending wisely before that happens. And when you stick with it for a few months, you'll discover that it isn't really limiting, but liberating. You have the same amount of money, you're just deciding ahead of time where it goes. One financial commentator put it like this: "A budget is like a fence around your money. It protects it from impulse spending. You can still spend money on things you enjoy as long as you stay on budget." You can hide behind your budget fence and avoid a great deal of financial danger. By the way, again, you can download the FaithFi app at faithfi.com. All right, your calls are next. The number, 800-525-7000. Call right now.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. January is National Blood Donor Month in America. It's a simple way to give to those in need, but it's not especially comfortable, especially if you have a fear of needles. But it does save lives. If you think about it, Jesus was the original blood donor, and he did far more than give some of his blood. He gave his whole life in order to save us. Isaiah 53 tells us he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. It's the greatest blood transfusion in history. Jesus giving up his life in order to save ours. You'll see Jesus more clearly every day through time in God's Word. Visit getanchor.com.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
We see and hear about the big public issues happening in our nation's capital, but what about the things that happen behind the scenes? That information can give us the whole story and help shape our opinions. That's why you need to listen to Washington Watch Weekend with Tony Perkins. He and his guests will give you all parts of the Washington news from a conservative Christian perspective. Catch Washington Watch Weekend Saturdays at 5:05 a.m. and 6 p.m. Central, and Sunday mornings at 3 Central on AFR.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
Many in the Middle East are going through horrific circumstances and are seeking refuge in Lebanon. Heart for Lebanon is bringing them hope, and now you can help.
We endured shelling and hunger. We witnessed death everywhere.
$116 brings emergency supplies and the hope that only comes through the gospel.
I want to spend the rest of my life telling people about Jesus and his salvation.
Give now at faithfi.com/Lebanon or call 888-201-5577.
Thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host, and it's time to take your calls and questions today. We'd love to tackle whatever you're wrestling with in your financial life, help you make a practical application to God's Word in whatever you're dealing with today. It's about decisions, but those decisions should be in light of biblical wisdom. In this area of money management, we have to begin with the idea that God owns it all and we're stewards, and our goal then is faithfulness in managing the master's money. Well, here on this program each day, we want to take you back to Scripture, but also help you process and address those very real concerns that you have in your life, financially speaking, whether you've been blessed with an abundance or you're in a season of difficulty right now and everything in between. We'd love to tackle it with you. The number to call with your questions is 800-525-7000. That's right. We have lines open and you can call right now. 800-525-7000. We'll be diving into those questions here in just a moment. But before we do, let me tackle an email. This one came to us just yesterday, and we want to try to get to as many of these as we can each week. This came from an older missionary couple, and they said, for almost 50 years, we've worked for a ministry that has provided housing for us. We plan on retiring in a couple of years. We're debt-free. We'll have Social Security, a pension, and some investments. At 72, are we too old to buy our first home, or should we rent? Well, first of all, I'm delighted that you wrote to us, and I'm grateful for your service in full-time ministry as unto the Lord as a missionary. You know, it's a challenging environment, and a lot of this is going to come down to what assets you have right now. I'm thrilled to hear that you're living modestly, and therefore, with that, with being debt-free, you're living on your Social Security and the pension. That's great. The question would just be, are you going to be able to go into that home without jeopardizing your financial security? So for instance, with the average home now being $400,000 nationwide, doesn't mean you have to spend that much, but that's the average. So obviously a 20% down payment means $80,000. The question would be, could you put down at least that $80,000? Do you have the means to do that? And then would the resulting mortgage payment on that $320,000 loan, again, in an average home example, be less than 25% of your monthly income for principal, interest, taxes, and insurance? If so, it might be worth considering. At least you'd have your own place. You all could build some equity over time in it. You might enjoy having a place of your own. If not, it probably does make sense to rent, even though rental prices have been high and remain high. I just don't want you to get stretched too thin. So hopefully that at least gives you some guidelines to consider as you're thinking through all of this. And we appreciate you writing to us. By the way, if you have a question you'd like to send it along, do that at askrob@faithfi.com. All right, we're going to head to the phones. We've got four lines open. Our team is ready to take your call right now with your financial question. 800-525-7000. Let's begin today in Pennsylvania. Hi, Shirley. How can I help?
Good morning. I have a question because I'm trying to decide how much or if I should gift to my kids or do a loan, but I kind of ruled that out. I have one that especially that I'd like to give toward that's building a house, and they really need to get into it because their family is getting bigger. But I thought a loan might not be a good idea. So to gift, I have four adult children. So I'd want to keep it the same and make it equal. So I'm thinking, I don't know, $3,000 or $4,000 to each. Can I afford that, and should I do that? That's my question. I'm 75 years old. Okay. And my total investments is only, well, not only, is $167,000.
Okay.
And my income, I have Social Security and a retirement income, which comes to about almost $28,000
okay.
a year.
All
and
right.
so that's what I'm looking at.
Yeah, very good. Let me ask you, Shirley, what are you living on? Are you just living on Social Security alone, or are you also pulling a monthly portion from the investments that you have?
I'm not pulling from investments, but I still get some side income. I have a little bit of self-employment, but not much.
Okay. All right.
I don't know, maybe a few thousand a year.
Okay. And if that were to go away, let's say you were unable to continue to do that at some point, are you able to live on Social Security alone?
I think so. I mean, yeah. I've always lived on a shoestring, and I think I could.
Yeah. Sure. Sure. Well, here's my thought. You know, first of all, I like the idea of you staying away from a loan. You know, a loan changes the relationship. You know, the Bible calls it a master-slave relationship. It says the borrower is servant or slave to the lender. And so I just don't like introducing that, especially into a family context. So if you have the ability to make a gift, you certainly can do that. There's no tax implications to that. In fact, without even letting the IRS know, know, you can give up to $18,000 per person in 2024. And Joe, you're talking about less than that. The question is, do you have the ability to do that? Now, obviously, you've got this 167, and that's a sizable sum of money. You're not relying on it to supplement your income. So it's just there and it's growing. So do you have the ability to draw from that? You do. I guess the only issue is just we don't know what we don't know about your needs in the future. You know, the most significant thing that would probably impact you in this season of life is long-term care, the need for, you know, skilled care down the road. And, you know, it's expensive. You know, the average annual cost for long-term care can, you know, run anywhere from $40,000 to, you know, over $100,000 a year, depending on whether you need assisted living or at-home care or nursing care. So, you know, it's very costly. Now, typically, on average, you only need that for somewhere between 18 months and 3 years before the Lord were to call you home once you get to that place where you'd need, you know, really skilled care. But it's that thing that could erode your assets in a hurry, and you'd have to be, relying on Medicaid at that point once you depleted your assets. So I think that would be the only thing to consider is I don't want you to live in fear. And obviously, if the Lord has, you know, put this on your heart to make a generous gift to your kids, well, go for it. Pray it through and make that decision. But I guess that would be the only thing I might say is, you know, what if you need these assets, and would it be better to hang on to it, continue to invest it, let it grow so you have something to tap into if you need it down the road, as opposed to taking, you know, I think you said four, let's say you did 3,000 to each child. I mean, you'd be taking 12,000 out of that. Can you afford it? Yes. But would it be better to hang on to it? Perhaps. And I think that's really the decision point. Does that make sense?
It does. I know the Lord has always provided for me, and so yeah. I know He will.
Yeah.
But I was wondering, I thought, do you think with my income I would be eligible for Medicaid at one time? I thought I might be, have too high of an income.
Yeah, it has to do with your assets, for Medicaid. And, you know, you would have to spend all of your assets down. So typically, and it depends on the state, but you're permitted to keep $2,000 when you apply for Medicaid long-term care. That's the asset limit for countable assets. So you would need to look at that. But, you know, that's something just to consider, you know, down the road. And then there is a maximum income level for a one person. It's $36,000 a year. But again, it varies by state. Hey, thanks for your call, Shirley. We'll ask the Lord to give you some wisdom on this. We'll be right back.
So for God to speak is for God to engage in self-revelation. We only know God because God has condescended to speak to us.
The God Who Speaks is a 90-minute documentary that answers many of the common objections about the Bible's reliability. The film equips believers to confidently base their lives on the power of God's Word. It's available at streaming.afa.net.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Isn't it interesting that the first department store to allow cross-dressing individuals into either restroom was the same store which later marketed LGBTQ-themed clothing for children? Some of those clothes actually included a satanic logo. Target is a perfect illustration of the slippery slope which is moral decline. Such corporate policies accelerate depravity and endanger our wives and daughters who use Target restrooms or changing areas. Learn more and sign the Target Boycott Pledge at afa.net.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
My wife's aunt passed away, and we received a considerable inheritance from that. We talked to the people at AFA Foundation, and they were very caring. What excites us about the charitable gift annuity is we will always have income coming in. It will be steady. We won't outlive it.
See if a charitable gift annuity is right for you. Call the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience, and she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio, where we want all Christians to see God as their ultimate treasure, which makes money a tool to accomplish God's purposes. Let us help you do that with your financial questions. Get in on the conversation today. We have lines open. We're ready for you. 800-525-7000, whether it's paying off debt, getting that credit score up, maybe being wise online as you transact business and staying safe, or saving or investing for the future, giving generously, whatever it might be. We'd love to tackle it with you. 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's go to Indiana. Hi, Esther. Thanks for your patience. Go ahead.
Hi, Rob. Thanks for the call.
Sure.
I have a home. We have a home, my husband and I, first-time homeowners about 3.5 years ago. Overall, the home's been a blessing, and we have, give or take a little bit, about $100,000 in equity. What we're running into is an old home, and we knew it needed a roof, so we did that. And then the furnace just kicked the bucket and gave me the willies, too, with putting off some carbon monoxide. And we're just kind of staring this house in the face and going, okay, blessing, but also how much money do we keep putting in this house before, you know, at some point there's a tipping scale where it'd be better to move to a slightly nicer house. I mean, the ideal would be a house we can see ourselves in for 20 years, if that's the Lord's will. And don't want to make too many, you know, as James said, not to plan too much in advance.
Sure.
But still, not to necessarily move and then move again either. So the ends of the spectrum are, what can we afford? But should we stay and just keep getting a little more equity? We're not sure what's best.
Yeah, it's a great question, Esther. Let me ask you, what do you think the value of this home is today, roughly?
I would hope it could sell at least $250,000, maybe $260,000 with the new roof.
Yeah. Okay. And as you look out, you know, once you take care of the furnace and the roof, I mean, obviously those are big expenditures, and yet, you know, they should last you, you know, 10 plus years each, if not more than that, 20 years and either. You know, are you seeing other things? You know, I know it's older, and so there's obviously the unforeseen. Typically, we would say you'd put away 1% of the home's value each year, and that should cover just kind of routine maintenance. So for you, that'd be $2,500 a year, basically $200 a month. I mean, obviously that doesn't cover a new roof or a new furnace or, you know, a new AC unit, or, you know, all of a sudden you realize you got to replace all the windows. I mean, those kinds of things are major expenditures that you need to be planning for and saving for. But once you get through at least your known big ticket items, are you sensing that you could stay within that $2,500, or do you feel like there's some other big ticket items that are coming pretty quickly?
There's so many large things that could be done. It's still knob and tube, and it's working, but they unplugged our furnace to make to absolutely guarantee, like, no one got poisoned or anything. Well, that unplugged our refrigerator. So there's obviously some wiring issues.
Yeah.
The windows could use a replacement. I feel like, you know, some of those things, oh, should we even fork over the money to do that to help the resale possibilities? And and there's two furnaces, two ACs, and they're all getting of age. So probably within 5 years, at least one more thing's going to break down or need to be replaced.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good. Well, you know, I think one thing you could do would be to start playing out the scenario of you moving. So you could get a realtor in there, somebody who's really, you know, has a lot of expertise in your particular area who could help walk through all of these things with you. I mean, there are certain renovations that include a high return on investment and others that don't. So for instance, replacing windows is typically one of those that has a high ROI. Replacing siding, in some cases adding a deck, things like that. There are other things that just don't make sense. And a realtor could kind of walk you through some of those things and help you, make as few fixes as possible so you maximize the value, but leave it there for somebody who wants to come in with a different vision or a different taste to do, the bulk of the things that would ultimately need to be done. I think the question is, what does this professional think you could get out of it? In terms of a legitimate market value, what would you need to invest in it to get it ready to sell with an eye toward let's do as little as possible to maximize the value? And then what would we take out in the way of proceeds after the expenses? You've got the realtor fee and, the other expenses. You've got the cost of the transaction going into the next home. What would you actually have available? And, could you get something that would fit the location, the size you're looking for, that's a little newer, that would take some of these concerns off the table, not eliminate them because every home needs upkeep, but at least it wouldn't be as old and, maybe as prone to needing some major repairs. But that the numbers, can begin to speak for themselves in terms of whether or not you all feel like you'd have what you need to go into this next home. I think the other factor here is obviously just where interest rates are now. We're, just under 7% now. So if you'd have to go in and get a mortgage on the new place, obviously, if you have a low mortgage, low interest rate mortgage now, you're going to have to factor that in. Let me ask you, do you own this free and clear or do you have a mortgage?
We have a mortgage. We own about 150 and we did come in at that peak time, kind of middle COVID, and we got a 2.875 rate. So it's great. And I was told yesterday by a lender, you'll probably never see that again. And so that's a booger of it.
Yeah. So that's part of this that you're going to need to factor in because the cost of funds there is just so cheap and you're going to go up significantly. I mean, most experts think we might finish this year, 2024, in the fives, but obviously, you could still be almost double where you are today. And that's going to be a challenge and it's just going to make it all more expensive. So, I think the next step perhaps is to take a legitimate step toward understanding, okay, if we started to do this, what are we talking about? And begin to run the numbers and play it out by getting somebody in there to advise you. What are the total costs of the renovations? What do you think you'd net coming out of the house? And what would you be looking to buy? And what would that mean just in terms of this higher interest rate on the mortgage? Would you have what you want to buy coming out of it, or would you need to increase the mortgage? And then look at that in light of your overall budget. I'd want to make sure that mortgage payment on the new home is under 25% of your take-home pay. So I think that's perhaps the next step here before you, make some real decisions. Esther, we appreciate your call today. Thanks for listening to the program. If we can help further, call us back. We'll be back with much more. Stay with us.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
A new year, a new you, a new haven. But as things change, one thing remains the same. The Bible's still all about Jesus. I'm Charles Morris, inviting you to join me as we announce a change after 25 years on Haven Today all week and a series called Keeping It All About Jesus.
Haven Today, weekday mornings at 4:30 Central on American Family Radio. Listen online at afr.net.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program.
Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
What's most important to you when it comes to choosing your financial advisor? Someone who's aligned with your biblical values? How about someone who will take the time to explain your options? Certified Kingdom Advisors are professionals who meet high standards in competence and integrity and have been trained to offer biblical financial advice. To find a Certified Kingdom Advisor in your area, visit faithfi.com and click Find a CKA.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
We believe that our ministry, as well as everything in the heavens and on earth, belongs to God, and our role is that of a trusted manager.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Coming up in the next segment of the broadcast, Bob Dahl stops by. Bob is Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments, managing billions of dollars. He's a Wall Street veteran, a Christ follower, and he joins us each week to share his insightful analysis of the markets and the economy. We'll find out what Bob is thinking. We had a strong finish to the end of the year. The markets have been under some pressure as we get the new year kicked off. Bob will help us make heads or tails out of all of it, and that's coming up in the next segment. In the meantime, we're taking your calls and questions today on anything financial. We'd love to hear from you. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Our team is standing by. You'll get right through without a wait. You can call right now. Hey, we were talking in the last segment about renting. Unfortunately, there's some challenges out there for renters. Credit Karma issued an interesting report related to renters. About 35% of Americans rent. About 25% of renters in America, though, are having trouble making their rent payments. Just about one-third of millennial renters who took part in the survey said they had trouble covering their rent. For Gen Z, it was slightly higher at 27%. 10% of Americans age 69 and older said they can't afford to pay their rent. And according to Redfin, the housing website, the median cost for rent is just under $2,000 a month. And that's the median, which means obviously a lot of folks paying quite a bit more than that. So a challenging environment out there. Now, clearly, rents are up because of what's happening in the housing market, because there's such a strong demand with not enough supply. We've got high interest rates. All of that has trickled down into the rental market and obviously is pushing our rental prices up. So certainly don't want to buy before you're ready and make sure you're not stretching too far, but you also want to compare and just make sure you understand if you are to sell and rent, what are you actually going to be paying for something that would fit your lifestyle. So we'd love to hear from you today. Your questions, we're taking them now at 800-525-7000. Again, that's 800-525-7000. You know, we often talk on this program about biblical financial wisdom. The Bible is full of wisdom. Proverbs 2:6 says, "For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding." And we know that in those 22 200 plus verses in the Bible that deal with money and possessions, there are principles that we can pull out and apply to our financial situation, such as we need to spend less than we earn. Philippians 4, 11 and 12, Paul says, I've learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound in any and every circumstance. I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. You see, contentment is a key part of spending less than you earn. And by the way, reducing living expenses is one of the least costly ways to increase cash flow, which, going to that point we made just a moment ago on that study with folks unable to cover their rent, the best way to increase cash flow is to get your expenses down. So let's look to that low-hanging fruit opportunity, which is most often going to be the food category. It's where you can recapture the money the quickest. I'll review a few of these other principles here that we pull out of God's Word here in just a moment, but let's head to the phones. We've got lines open, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's go to Texas. Hi, Becky. How can I help?
Hey, good morning. Hope you're doing well.
I am. Yes, ma'am.
I'll just real briefly give you what I'm calling in about, what's called BCLI, which is if you're prior military, and I spent 8 years in, got out, but I kept the insurance where you can roll it over. I want to note, I've been paying on it since I was 21 years old. I'm 58. Okay. It hasn't been expensive the whole way. It was like $120 a year. Okay. But now that I'm getting older, every 5 years, the rate goes up. So now I think last year, I think I'm paying like $458, and it's $100,000 coverage. And I'm struggling, and I have been praying, but just kind of struggling with, I don't really want to cancel it because I have all this money invested. You know, I've spent a lot of money on it. But I know you're really not supposed to, you know, keep life insurance for inheritance. But, I mean, it's $100,000 that I've been paying on, you know, for a good long time. So how do I think, you know, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so I just want to be sure I'm clear on this. So you're not talking about the TRICARE military health insurance. You're talking about life insurance?
I'm talking about specific life insurance.
Yes.
It used to be called OSGLI, and then it changed to BGLI.
Yes, yes. Typically, the life insurance that's offered by the military is an excellent product, and it's low cost. The max you can have is that $100,000. But it obviously you need to look at it in light of your budget and just make sure that, it fits. Is it building up cash value or not? Do you know?
I don't think so. I mean, I think I need to call them and be like, okay, what's the deal here? Because it was a great deal when I was in my 20s, my 30s, my 40s. But when I turned 50, it went up. When I turned 55, it went up. And I know it's going to go up when I turned 60. So I don't think it is. I mean, I can't, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think the other question is just, do you need the insurance? I mean, regardless of whether it's a good policy and a good value, what is the purpose of it? You know, because normally what we would say here, Becky, is that you have life insurance during your working years to offset a risk, because in the event of your death, it may create a hardship for a dependent or a spouse who's relying on your income. If you're in a situation where there is not anyone depending on it and you're just using it for an inheritance, then what if you were to drop that, recapture that monthly amount, and just put that into savings, which then could benefit you if you need it while you're living, and still be left, to leave to your heirs at death. So, you know, my typical approach is to say, let's only have life insurance while we need it to offset a risk, not keeping it, beyond that for inheritance purposes. Does that make sense?
Right. It does, and that's it. But and I agree 100%. Like, and I don't need it for, you know, I don't need it. I retired early, but my heartache or my heartburn or my problem is that I paid on it. I'm 58. I paid on it since I'm 21, So, I mean, that is a lot of years that I, in my opinion, I mean, hey, that's a long time to have invested and then just to walk away with no outcome. That makes sense.
Yeah, it does. I mean, I think the other way to look at this is to say I was paying for the cost of the insurance to offset a risk, and it's good news that I didn't have to collect on it, and it was there to provide a real purpose, but that has come and gone. It's like saying, I'm disappointed because I didn't have to collect on my auto insurance policy because I didn't get in an accident. Well, that's good news you didn't get in an accident, and if you had, you would have had it there to protect you, so it was worth paying for, but we're glad we didn't have to use it. And I think that's the same thing here. Don't look at it as what's lost. Look at it as it provided a necessary purpose for me to be a good and faithful steward. That time has gone. It was a good value for what I had it for, but it's no longer necessary. I've got to take a break. Thanks for your call, Becky. We'll be back with much more. Stay with us.
Weekday mornings at 8 Central, Pastor Jeff Shreve offers real truth for today.
I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries.
The world around us is rapidly changing, but God and His truth will never change.
I may be the host of the show, but I want God's Word and His truth to be the star of the show.
Join Pastor Jeff Shreve each weekday morning at 8 Central for Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio.
What if the doctor were to tell you you only had 6 months to live? Would you have any regrets in your life? This week on Pathway to Victory, Dr. Robert Jeffress reveals the biblical keys to regret-free living in your relationships, your finances, your spiritual life, and more. Join us for the brand new series, Say Goodbye to Regret, all this week on Pathway to Victory.
Weekday mornings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
Have you downloaded the FaithFi app yet? You need to do that today, because this is going to make your life easier. Yes, you can manage your money through the in-app envelope feature, but also plan out future goals. I want to buy a house in 5 years, and I'm on track to do that. Here's also what I like. You can connect with people around the country. It's like social media, but better. Ask a question, get an answer, and share what you're learning about money and investing. So why don't you grab your phone right now and download the FaithFi app?
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Here in our final segment today, we're going to be continuing to take your calls and questions. We'll head to Scott in Virginia here in just a moment, but we have room for a few more questions, 800-525-7000. But first, each week we're joined by our good friend Bob Dahl. He shares his analysis of the markets and the economy. He's Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments. And Bob, great finish to the year, tough start to the year. The stocks have been under some pressure. Tell us what the latest is.
Yeah, look, the market just had an incredible run, as you know, from late October to the end of the year. The market was up 15%. That's like the amount of return on average we get over a year and a half, not 2 months.
Right.
And so the market was overbought. The optimism got off the charts. And, you know, we flipped the calendar page and it was time for a pause and a little profit taking. And yesterday, of course, we had a strong day. But bull markets are never straight up, just like bear markets are never straight down, and it just got way overbought.
Yeah, no question about that. All right, Bob, what are we seeing just as we get kicked off for this year? In particular, I'm noting on earnings growth, you know, one of your 10 predictions was that earnings growth in 2024 will fall short of the 11% consensus expectations. How is that materializing so far just in the first few weeks?
Well, here, even since the first of the year, a full year S&P 500 earnings have already come down by a dollar.
Wow.
Doesn't sound like a lot, but that's a short amount of time, and I think they're going to come down some more. look, if you have a brilliant view of the economy and inflation's going to behave itself and the Fed's going to lower rates, you know, sort of the nirvana experience that, that seemed to be in the markets as it headed into the new year, we could get that kind of earnings growth. But I just don't think all those good things can line up all at once, and we'll have a shortfall. What will it be? I mean, I think we'll still have up earnings, but it might be mid-single digits rather than double digits.
All right. Yeah, that's helpful. Bob, as we look abroad, obviously these geopolitical tensions tend to show up in our wallets, most notably through the price of oil. Give us an update on what's happening there and the significance of what's passing through the Red Sea.
Yeah, first of all, it's unknowable and unpredictable, and it vacillates almost day by day.
Yeah.
As we entered the new year, tensions were rising. You could see that as the price of oil was going up. The Red Sea, where so much commerce passes. In fact, estimates are that more than 10, as much as 12% of global trade passes through the Red Sea. Insurance costs, if you want to ship something through there, they've gone through the roof too, because people are concerned about what, quote, might happen in that region of the world.
Wow. Yeah, so something we'll keep an eye on. Bob, obviously a lot of folks talking about that soft landing here domestically. You've, of course, said in your predictions you think we'll have some at least mild recession this year. But what about just on the global front? What are you expecting in terms of the economic health of the rest of the world?
You know, mediocre is the right way to put it, and mixed, of course. There are some countries in Europe that are in recession. The ones that aren't are bumping along. None of them are hitting it out of the park. China is the big wild card, on again, off again. They've provided some stimulus, but they still have the real estate problems, the growth problems because of demographics. So I think the world will limp through 2024 most likely in terms of economic growth. And that obviously has an impact on earnings, which has an impact on the market. So I think it's going to be a volatile and trendless sort of year where you've got to be in the right stocks and avoid the wrong stocks, as it were. Easy for me to say, hard to do.
Yeah, no question about that. All right, Bob, rounding out your comments today, let's come back home and talk about the latest employment report and what you make of that, as well as just where you see unemployment heading this year.
Yeah. So the employment report was indicative of what we've been talking about here. Mixed. There was some stuff for the bulls, some stuff for the bears. The good news is job growth reported for December was better than expected. But the revisions from prior months were pretty negative. For the bears, wage rates, trailing 12 months up over 4%. That's not 2 as the Fed wants. So you have all these cross currents, and the bulls look at the things they want to look at, and the bears look at the things they want to look at, and you get this this stalemate. Time will tell as we get through the course of the next bunch of months in the full year.
Yeah, very good. All right, Bob, we always appreciate your insights. I hope you have a great week, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks much. Talk then.
All right. That's Bob Dahl. He's Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments. If you want to sign up for his free weekly investment commentary called Dahl's Deliberations, delivered to your inbox each week, you can do that at crossmarkglobal.com. All right, let's head back to the phones. We've got a couple of lines open. We'd love to hear from you as we round out the broadcast today with whatever is on your mind financially speaking today. The number to call, 800-525-7000. Our team is standing by. Let's go to Virginia. Hi, Scott. How can I help, sir?
Hey, good morning, sir. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I live in Virginia, and I inherited some property from my father. There's no mortgage on it. He wanted me to sell one of the properties. It's more than one property, but he wanted me to sell the property and divide the money between my brothers and myself. But there's a capital gains tax here. What is your advice on what I need to do to get the most money for the rental property where we can divide it with us?
Yes, sir. It's a great question. How long ago did your father pass away?
A year and a half ago. Well, he died on October the 28th, 2000.
Of 2000.
2021, I'm sorry.
2021. All right. So it's been a couple of years. And so yeah. Do you have a sense of how much this property has appreciated, has increased in value since the date of his death?
Yes, it has.
All right. That's the number.
He only paid a little bit for it. He paid like $25,000 for it, but it's worth probably $170,000 right now.
Yeah. Well, here's the way that works, though, and it's always good to work with your CPA on this just to make sure you know exactly what the numbers look like. But just generally speaking, Scott, when you inherit a property, as opposed to him quit claim deeding it to you, giving it to you while he's still alive, if you receive it through a will or a trust as a part of an inheritance after his death, the cost basis is stepped up to the date of death. So it no longer matters what he paid for it however many decades ago. The cost basis resets to the market value of the property as of the date of his death, October 2021. And so that's now your new cost basis. So your capital gains is just going to be what you sell it for minus that stepped up cost basis, the market value from 2021, which is going to be a lot less in terms of gains, capital gains, than if you were to have to go all the way back to his original purchase price. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Okay. So that obviously is going to save you. Now, you are going to be responsible since you are the one that inherited it. You're going to be responsible for the capital gains. So you're going to want to know, you know, what you have to set aside. That's where you'll want to work with your CPA. Long-term capital gains rates, do you file your taxes as a single person or married?
Single.
All right. So up to $47,000 in income as a single person would be zero capital gains rate. This is not the gain. This is your income, your adjusted gross income. If you have between $47,000 and $518,000 in adjusted gross income for 2024, assuming you sell it this year, your capital gains rate would be 15% on this property if you have a long-term capital gain. Assuming you held it for a year, and you have. So that's where most people fall. So you'd take the selling price, whatever that is, minus the stepped up cost basis as of the date of your dad's death. That would be the gain. And then 15% of that you would owe for capital gains. And so you'd set that aside. Again, work with your CPA to get the exact number. And then whatever's left, you could then gift out to your siblings. And that would be considered a gift because this is now your asset. Your dad didn't leave it to the children. He left it to you. And so you would have to make a gift. You're going to have to report that to the IRS as a gift, anything over $18,000. But it's not going to be taxable. It'll just chip away at your lifetime gift exemption of $13.6 million. So until you get to $13.6 million, you don't have to pay any taxes.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
That sounds great. Yes, it makes a lot of sense. Can I get one more question in?
Real quick. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. All right. I do have a foundation in my father's name. He was one of the Richmond 34. And what I wanted to do was see, it's a nonprofit and it is 501c3. What if I donate money to that organization, would that help me as well?
Potentially. Are you talking about related to the property or just separate from the property sale?
Separate from the property.
Okay. Yeah, anytime you make a contribution to a 501c3 charitable organization, you can take that as a deduction as long as you itemize, which means that you have to get above the standard deduction for 2024, which would be $14,600. So if your deductions, including your charitable contributions, go above $14,600, then you could deduct that amount of your contribution to the 501c3. If it's below that, then you're going to take the standard deduction and you don't get any benefit. Does that make sense?
Awesome. Thank you, yeah. Sir. God bless you.
All right,
thank
Scott.
Thank you for my call.
You're welcome. Hey, that's going to do it for us today, folks. On behalf of my team today, Devin Patrick, Robert Youngblood, and Robert Sutherland, I'm Rob West. This has been Faith and Finance here at American Family Radio. Hey, go out and live for Jesus and make God your ultimate treasure. And We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.